Both scripture lessons today, I think, will be familiar ones to you. But I encourage you, anytime you hear scripture, but especially when you hear scripture that you're familiar with, to listen carefully to what you're hearing. Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 3b through 9. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. Our second scripture today, as Jeff's pointed out, is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. It is a portion that's known as the Beatitudes. As Jeff said, one of his favorite readings. It's also one of mine. Please listen carefully, and I'm going to read through 12, not just 11. So listen to these words as I read from Scripture. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and offer all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. The sermon today actually came out of several occurrences that have happened in my life recently. We had the wonderful opportunity to attend two conferences, one in Labor Day weekend with Richard Rohr and several other wonderful speakers called Conspire. And then 2 weeks ago, Bill and I were able to go to Montreat to a conference called Better Angels. And out of this conference, we were looking at how power affects the world, how it affects our lives, how it affects our minds. And then after the retreat in Montreat, I went to Washington, D.C., and many of the things I saw there just fed what I'd been feeling out of these two conferences about how much difficulty there is in the world right now because of the power structure of our world. I visited the African American Museum and saw all that had happened in black people's lives over the years, much of which was caused by good church people. And then we went to the War Museum, the war memorials, and the Abraham Lincoln Memorial. And I was so touched by all of it, and out of that I chose my scripture and where I was going with this sermon. And then yesterday, after working on my sermon, I got on the car, and I often have CNN on, and the first thing I heard was about a mass shooting in a synagogue yesterday morning. And suddenly, everything I wanted to talk about seemed very real, and it increased what I was feeling from the events in my life. And yet it made it even more difficult to preach a sermon that I knew was going to be difficult anyway. And I looked back over the week. Yesterday, a shooting in a synagogue. 11 innocent people that had come together to worship their God, thinking they were safe. So often in my prayer, I will pray about people around the world who face challenges when they go to worship. They fear for their very lives. And yet in this country, we've always felt safe when we went to our places of worship. And suddenly in recent years, in recent months, that's begun to change. Suddenly we have to fear. Several weeks ago, as part of the preschool, we did a training on active shooter. And it got me to begin to think, what do we need to do to make our places safer? Yesterday, one of the reactions was, maybe we just need to have armed guards in all of our sanctuaries. And I'm thinking, how do we be a welcoming place of worship? How do we be a place that says this is a place of love and welcome if the first thing you see when you get to the door is an armed guard? And I just can't believe that's the answer. There's got to be another answer that we as God's people need to deliver, that we need to be a part of. These scriptures, at first, on the sign out front, if you saw the sign, it said upside down, and I'm thinking, oh, these scriptures are about the world being upside down, being turned upside down, being changed. And then as things are happening, I'm going, no, the world's already upside down. What these scriptures are is turning the world right side up. This week, we've had people receiving bombs strictly because somebody believes they're not agreeing with somebody that they believe is right. And it's okay to believe somebody's right. But do we have to strike out and use violence against people who don't agree with you? Thankfully, none of those bombs went off. It could have very well been a postal worker that was killed if one of those bombs went off. The people they were going to probably would never have gotten the mail because their mail is inspected. But there's a lot of innocent people that happened to handle those packages in the way that could have been injured or killed. Last Sunday, there was a man that walked into a grocery store and killed two people, one in the store and one in the parking lot, strictly because they were black. I had kind of heard it, and it kind of went over my head, and I really hadn't paid a lot of attention, but I got a letter from my seminary, because it happened in Louisville, which is where I went to seminary this morning. And I went online and started to research it, and one of the things that just came out a couple of hours ago was that man that did the shooting in Louisville actually had gone to an all-black church shortly before he went to the grocery store. And their services were over, and they had locked their doors. There were still some people inside, but only a few. A mere hour before, there had been 80 people in there worshiping. And it could have been the same thing as what happened in Pittsburgh yesterday. And I read these scriptures. It was kind of providence that I had picked these scriptures after this week of so much hatred and violence. And I'm like, and I'm listening to the liturgy today and how much of it fed into all this. The things that are happening in the world that are so difficult, and yet we as a church have got to be a part of the solution. So Several people said to me today, why are you in white today? Because we're generally wearing robes except on special occasion. And many of you, if you know anything about robes, know normally the white is worn on Easter and Christmas and for funerals. And it was one of those God things last night that I felt called to set up the communion table with 11 candles, that I felt called to wear white, but to wear my butterflies, which are the sign of the resurrection and of hope, because that's what we are. It is so easy to get afraid and decide to put armed guards at the front door, or it is the possibility that we can become more fully God's people, that we can find ways to spread love. About 2 years ago, it was accepted by the session of this church that we would have a vision and a mission. Our vision is that all people know God's loving presence. All people know God's loving presence. And our mission is to inspire lives by loving God with all our soul, mind, heart, and our neighbors as ourselves. Never before, I don't think, in the time of this country, has it been so important to remember that vision and that mission. To go out of this place and live that. Because we can't change things by living in fear. We can't change things by hunkering down and withdrawing from the world. We can only change things by living that message. Yes, the church has been a part of the problem. Slavery was supported by the church. There's new things that have come out recently that tell exactly how much it was supported by the church. Warfare is supported by the church. So many things. That's got to change. We've got to find ways. Yes, we need to be safe. But we can be safer if we support love and change the world than we can be safe by hunkering down and hiding. That's what this message from Jesus is. We need to get away from following just the message of the world, which is prosperity. I mean, the biggest mega churches right now preach a prosperity gospel, which is all about God wants us to be wealthy. God wants us to be healthy. Yeah, God wants us to have what we need. But that shouldn't be our main goal. A couple of weeks ago, one of the big headlines was about Khashoggi, who was believed to have been murdered by the Saudis. They haven't found definitive proof yet. But one of the things that was said in response to that by a religious leader on the 700 Club, which is a well-thought-of religious show, was that we shouldn't be too quick to go after the Saudis, because right now we're in the middle of an arms deal with them that's worth lots and lots of money and can be got lots of jobs and lots of money. That should be our priority. Where in the Christian church have we gone wrong when that's our priority in response to the possible murder of any human being, when we put a human being's life behind profit? We need to find a way to bring about change. I go on Facebook, and I know many people now that have given up both the news and social media because there's so much hate out there. And I see so much hateful response. We need to find a way instead to use social media to spread love, to say good things, to share stories of people that are doing good things, to help change people's attitudes. We need to support people that are trying to find peaceful ways of protesting. Martin Luther King was protesting peacefully, and he was killed for it. And we know that's a possibility. At the end of one of these, at the end of the scripture, it said, even the prophets were persecuted. And we can't let that stop us from being prophets, because each and every one of us can be prophets. That's what we're called to be. That's what this scripture is all about. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do you know 16% of our defense, approximately, it's hard to come up with an exact percentage, but the closest I could find, 16% of our U.S. budget right now is spent on defense. And I am a strong supporter of the military. I have a daughter and two sons, grandsons in the military right now. The military is necessary. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could help change the world to where that military could do recovery from hurricanes? Peacemaking missions rather than war-making missions? That's what Jesus is called for. One of the biggest controversies we've seen in this last year is about a man who kneels during the national anthem because he's protesting violence against blacks. I've got to tell you, yesterday, after the shooting, when they said that the shooter had surrendered, he was alive, one of my first things I said to Bill was, and this really is a sad statement, is, I bet he's a white man. Because every day we're reading about black men that are murdered who aren't even armed. And yet here's a man who had killed 11 people. And as we're seeing it routinely after a mass shooting, that they're taking them alive. In spite of the fact that they killed. And that's not saying I wanted that shooter killed. What I'm saying is we do have a difference in this country based on race. We as the church need to be a part of the solution of changing that. I don't know what all the answers are. I wish I did. There's so many people whose minds have to be changed. It can be so difficult to even think about it, on how we can make a difference, just one person or two people. And yet if we don't make the effort, nothing is going to change. It's not easy. And I can't tell you exactly how we can do it. But I can tell you we've got to find a way to spread love, not hate. Last night at the vigil for the synagogue, which was held at a Presbyterian church, I can proudly say, the theme of that message was to spread love, not hate. In spite of the fact that these people had just witnessed a horrendous, hateful act, they could say, spread love, not hate, because only love is going to overcome hate. And that's who our God is. We have a God of love, who desires greatly that we all live in peace. Everywhere at week we pray in our Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That is my prayer as we go out of these walls today, that we find a way to help make this happen. That God's kingdom comes here on earth. A kingdom of peace, a kingdom of love, a kingdom where people don't feel the need to go into a synagogue or a Baptist church or a Presbyterian church or any church and draw a gun and shoot innocent people because they've come together to worship their God. In God's name we pray. Amen. Love will overcome hate. Love has to overcome hate. There are so many ways to show love. They don't have to be big things. This last week, we sent out an email to people asking for gift cards for people struggling from the hurricane. And I've gotten many, many gift cards. That's a way of showing love to people who will never meet us, who never know who we are. Each week we have people who go over to Skycrest and sit down with children and help them learn to read. Help them know that there are people who care enough about them to give of their time to come. The cashier at Publix or Walmart or any other store that looks harassed, that has probably had a lot of people hollering at them all day, complaining about the prices of the groceries that they have no way of having any control over. A kind word, a thank you for what you do, that's showing love. And we never know when that sign of love might make a difference. Our scripture said a little child will lead them. We have children that are speaking out against violence in schools. We need to support them. We need to support people that are trying to spread love, that are trying to support safety, that are trying to change lives. That is your challenge this week. If you're on social media, be careful about what you spread. Try to keep your message positive, full of love, and don't share things that promote hate. Because you never know whose life it's going to affect. The bomber this week, it came out by one of his former employees that he wanted to return to the time of Hitler. What a sad statement on our world. There are people that are believing that. Open your hearts, open your minds, and find ways to spread love, not hate. In Jesus' name, amen.